Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Here's what we're going to try and do. Okay? Here's what we're going to try and do. We're going to try, stick with me for a second. We're going to try and have a legit discussion. This is a hard one. Have a legit discussion about LeBron James and politics. In a moment, okay? We're going to try. It's very, very difficult to have these because we all collectively seem to lose our minds. First, let me just inform you that the Doug Gottlieb Show is broadcast live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 888-FARMERS, and you could save some money on insurance immediately. All right, so let's...
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Let's have this discussion. LeBron James is obviously a prominent figure in the world of sports, and he's become a guy who's put himself into the political spectrum. This goes back to when Hillary Clinton was running for president, and of course, he pushed back against President Trump and many of his policies, and continues to be very politically active. Now, there were some Fox News hosts. Was it Laura Ingraham who famously said, shut up and dribble? I think it was Laura Ingraham who famously said, shut up and dribble. And Laura Ingraham, of course, works for Fox News, or did at the time. I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't watch political news. If she still does, okay. So she said, shut up and dribble. And, of course, there's a general pushback from athletes, and there's the I am more than an athlete kind of campaign, if you will. This was Zlatan Ibrahimovic, of course, superstar soccer player, LA Galaxy. Oh, he plays for Milan now? My bad, I didn't even know, man. As of last year, he went back? Okay. So, great soccer player, not a citizen of the United States, has spent a couple of years here. Opinionated, outgoing, superstar, soccer player. He had this to say.
He's a phenomenal in what he's doing. But I don't like when people, when they have some kind of status and they go in and they do politics at the same time what they're doing. I mean, do what you're good at. Do the category you do. I play football because I'm the best in playing football. I don't do politics. If I would be a politician, I would do politics. That is the first mistake people do when they become famous and they come in a certain status. Stay out of it. Just do what you're best at because it doesn't look good.
So here's what you're going to get. You're going to get a pushback from people. There'll be he's not American. He doesn't understand. You don't understand what it's like to be black in America. You don't understand what's happening in our politics. This is just shut up and dribble, you know. And I'm sure you're going to get if LeBron was white, he wouldn't say it. Right? You're going to get all of that general reaction. And by the way, most people are going to push back against Zlatan, not against the messenger, not against the actual message. Okay. Now, my feeling is, again, the world is gray. I don't believe you have to stay out of politics. I also don't believe you have to be politically active. Tom Brady, the only thing political we ever saw from him was the Make America Great hat, which was in his locker. We don't know if he's a Trumper or not. We don't know if he was a Trumper, and at some point in time, he's like, I'm out. We have no, or he did the Mark Cuban. And for that reason, I'm out, right? We have no idea. And I've been on other people's podcasts and they said, well, why didn't Tom Brady take a stand for Black Lives Matter with all his black teammates? And like, because you know what? You don't actually have to. So let me explain the stance that most people really believe, but they're afraid to admit. Okay? First, LeBron James is absolutely able to put himself in the political arena, even though that is not, nor should it be, his primary focus. It's his country, just like it's my country. He pays taxes more than I do, just like I pay taxes. He has every right to have every opinion that he has on politics. Every single one. He has every right. On the same token, I have every right to have opinions on politics that may differ from his. And Tom Brady has every right to not share his opinions. And that's part one. Here's part two. Zlatan's generally right. Generally right from this perspective is, like, look, if you really wanted to get into politics, you got to know a lot. There's a conflicting alliances, and it's where LeBron has gotten exposed a little bit with his lack of calling out China for their nationwide indiscretions. Now, do I think that you have to, as an American citizen, comment on another country and their policies? You don't, because you don't live in that country. You don't have to share their morals or their ethics, nor do they have to share ours. The difference, though, is when you do business with that country, you can withhold your business, especially as the type of entrepreneur that LeBron James has, if you want to. Like, for me, if I say, don't do anything with China, and I'm not going to buy any Chinese products, it doesn't do anything. The Chinese are like, I don't care. It doesn't really matter. But I can just say, hey, like, look, my ethics aren't their ethics. I don't agree with them. But I don't do millions of dollars of business with China. So he looks like a hypocrite. And it's unfair to call out other officials as hypocrites or for their policies when you don't live that same life. And some of this is like, look, you just don't have the time or the bandwidth. He's got his family, he's got his businesses, he's got his kids, and he's got his sport. But here's the last part, okay? If LeBron James chooses to dive into the political field, the political minefield, bro, it's a completely different world of mudslinging. Like, the only thing we can say negative about LeBron James is when he's come up short in the NBA finals and how he's not he's not Jordan and he's not the greatest of all time. And if he was the greatest, why didn't he win more with the Cavs? Well, they had the super team in Golden State. He had a super team. He had a super team in Miami. He won 2 out of 4 titles. Like, that's literally the only thing we can say bad about him. Right? And in that, well, it used to be all about when you don't have LeBron, look at their record. Now you have LeBron, you don't have Anthony Davis, look at their record. Like, that's, you compare that to politics? Dude, politics is vicious. And if you want to put yourself into that political spectrum, you can. But don't expect people to treat you nice. Like, you're inarguably one of the greatest basketball players ever. You're just a guy. In politics, you're just a self-made multi-millionaire, maybe someday billionaire. And it's the bro, you're really, really bright for a basketball player. But there are people in the political world or in the business world that they're just, this is what they've done their whole lives. And they are way smarter as politicians and they understand all of the different history, all the different. So, and look, I would say this is what Democrats tried to do with Hillary Clinton. Like, if you were critical of Hillary Clinton, oh, you're just a sexist. Like, no, we're critical of everybody who's a politician. That's the way it works. It's like being quarterback. Well, you're only being critical of him because, no, we're critical of everybody who's a quarterback. That's how it works. So I generally agree with Zlatan, which is like, if you want to do politics, do politics. If you want to do basketball. It's really hard to do both. You know, it's hard. I generally agree with him, but he has the right to share his political opinions, right? It's just like you have the right to kneel before the flag. You have the right. You have the right to burn the flag. I have the right to think whatever I want to think about what your actions are. That's the way this deal works. That's the way it works. And if you don't like that, okay, you're going to have to, it's not going to change. That is the, those are the amendments of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, which like the idea of a democracy is, can you stand up and not just defend your beliefs, but can you allow somebody else's beliefs to be aired? That's how it works. You have the right to share your opinions. You have the right to keep them to yourself. But if you share your opinions, understand, not everybody agrees with you. And within reason, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. So I think it's really, really important. Really important. For us to listen to Zlatan and listen to the message. Don't do the shoot the messenger thing. What he's saying is a belief a lot of people hold to be true. And I generally think it is true. It is the way in which you should see things. That's my belief, just because it's really hard to be great at multiple things. It just is. And that guy puts $1 million into his body so that he can be the best conditioned basketball player of all time. That guy spends a ton of time with his family. That guy has other business interests. He's allowed to have his political opinions, but you put your, if you dip your toe into that water, understand if you think that Skip Bayless is a harsh critic, you ain't seen nothing yet. And by my estimation, the biggest problem with athletes, actors, actresses that want to share their political feelings and get into that world. Like, oh, LeBron wants to run for president. Good luck with it. It's completely different in how we dissect you. Do I think it's right? No. But I also know that's the game and how it's played. That's the game.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. It's better than using your phone to see if your post got any likes again. Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio, live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 888-FARMERS to switch and you can save a bundle on your auto insurance. We'll hear from Dan Beyer in a second. We got a lot of things that we'll want to get to, though. You know, look, as we're getting ready for next year, it fascinates me on how we want to call the untimely death of teams. I pointed out that Bill Belichick had a quarterback who couldn't throw a football. Okay? He had a quarterback who could not throw a football. They were in absolute cap hell. They had eight guys opt out. Julian Edelman missed more than half the season. The best cover cornerback in the NFL missed half the year. And they're in a pretty good division. And they won seven games with a quarterback who couldn't throw. Now, it's really easy to hop on the Brady train and say, see, he was right and Bill Belichick's an idiot, he was wrong. But it's also a smarter play to go, well, wait a second. They got $62 million in cap space, which is the third most in the league. They have Dante Hightower and Patrick Chung and their tackle Marcus Cannon all returning this year. Okay? So you're getting back the meat of your team. You've shown the ability to run the football. You've developed some younger players on your defensive side of the ball while some of your stars misses a substantial amount of time. I understand the hardest piece to find is the piece they're missing, which is quarterback. But even with a quarterback who couldn't throw a football, they still won 7 games in a good division. So I look at it and I'm saying, I'm really excited to see what the Bengals do when they get back their quarterback. Or can the Browns take another step? You know, the Colts now have a legit quarterback if he's right. Obviously, you got the Chiefs, maybe the Raiders, maybe the Chargers. What about the Dolphins? What about if the Dolphins get Deshaun Watson? What do they look like then? Hey, are we forgetting about the Patriots? I kind of feel like we are.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Michael Sean Duggar joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Right? Follow him on social media. They can read his piece that he wrote on Russ Wilson. Mike Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I'm not going to lie, man. I got people listening, man. They're going to have me let you know my last name, Dugar. Dugar.
My bad.
No, it's all good. I just can't, you know, I got too many people listening. They be texting like, Mike, how you let them do that? It's like, I gotta do it.
All right. Why? Take me back. Why do you think Russell, he's always been a guy who's wanted to almost be a politician in the media, right? Like the unlimited, it's kind of over the top cheese ball, a little bit cringe worthy in that. So oftentimes we don't feel like we're getting the real Russell Wilson. Now we're getting a real Russell Wilson, and he appears to be a little more than a little disgruntled. Why do you think we've seen the turn?
I mean, the clock's ticking. You know what I mean? Like, he's about to enter, year 10? You know, and he really wants to be great. That's the thing that we kind of overlook with kind of the cheesy stuff. Like, when he says, oh, yeah, you know, I want to be great, and I want to be legendary, all that stuff. Oh, that's cute. It was like, no, he's very serious. Like, he sees Brady go to 10 Super Bowls, and was like, well, cool, I can just go to 11. And we're all hearing that, like, excuse me? He's like, no, why not? Right? And that's why a guy like that names his foundation the Why Not You Foundation, because he really kicks it that way. And so he finishes year 9. He's like, man, I done thrown 40 touchdowns. I done led the league in touchdowns. I'm throwing as much as I can. You know, I'm trying to win MVP. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. And we're just not getting close. He's getting fed up. You know what I mean? He's not going to be 32 or whatever he is right now. He's not going to be young forever. You know what I mean? He's got to eventually, you know, get back to some Super Bowls and win one and win another and win another. And he recognizes, like, yo, getting old around here, man. Pete, if you're not going to have a sense of urgency and get us where we need to be, then get me up out of here.
But the reality is he's under contract. The reality is that he didn't play great at the end of last year. The reality is that as talented as he is, you know, one of the reasons they've struggled to protect him for multiple reasons. One, they haven't drafted that well with the offensive line, but it's not for lack of trying. They've drafted, they've traded for, you know, Dwayne Brown, they traded for whatever, but he holds the ball a lot based upon how he plays. Like, there are some, he is as much as he's the solution to many of their problems. He also is a little bit part of the problem, is he not?
Oh, yeah. I was about to say 100%, but that's unfair to Russell. He absolutely is part of it, though. I think two things are very true with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. One, Russell Wilson plays a style of football that lends itself to a lot of hits and a lot of sacks. That's just a fact. I don't care what Russell says. That is true. Check the tape, right? Part two of that is the Seahawks also put bad linemen in front of him. Like, it's a double whammy. Like, that is how you end up getting sacked more than any QB in the league over the last 9 years. It's a double whammy. Right? So, yeah, of course, and that would be Pete Carroll's rebuttal. Pete Carroll probably hears that 394 sack number that Russell's put out there and goes, okay, sir, how many of those are you? You know what I mean? Like, if I put 5 All-Pros in front of you, are you still running around playing backyard football and taking more hits and sacks than a more traditional pocket passer? Right, and there's still flaws in that argument too, because some of those backyard plays are what makes him great. But it's the fact that he does have those, and they do lend themselves to sacks. And I think that really is also at the core of why there's a stalemate between the Seahawks and Russell Wilson, because everyone in the room arguing is right, but at the same time, everyone in the room arguing has flaws in their argument too. And if they can't agree, well, then you get leaks to the media and stuff, and you get where we are now.
Okay, so in your mind, any way they trade him?
This year, I just don't see it. I think that, and I was tweeting this too because I was thinking about this out loud the other day. How much trade power does a quarterback really have? Like, it's not actually a ton. You know, because if I'm Pete Carroll and I go, okay, I got two options. I can just not have a quarterback by trading him or have an unhappy quarterback. Well, in the sake of job security, give me the unhappy quarterback 10 times out of 10, right? Unless my unhappy quarterback is going to, you know, abstain from work. As long as you swipe your key card into our Seahawks practice facility, you could be mad as hell. I don't really care because you're going to show up and play well. So I don't think they trade him because they can call his bluff relatively easily. You can apply all of those same things to the Houston situation with Deshaun. Russ doesn't have that much leverage in this situation because Pete Carroll doesn't want to get fired, which is what happened if he would trade his quarterback and have to rebuild. Because he doesn't want to have to do that, he's going to keep Russell as long as he can. Now, next year, if we're right here again after they lost in the wild card round or even a divisional round, and I don't know, like at that point, it's a little bit more financially stable. Pete Carroll might not be, you know, in very good standing with ownership if he just keeps falling short. Next year might be a different discussion, but right now, I don't think Russ has the leverage to just force himself out.
What do they do in the offseason to tinker? I mean, I know they went out, got a new offensive coordinator, and supposedly Russ was part of that discussion. What do they do to help fix this team?
You know, I'm actually, right when I hopped on with you, I was writing like a 12-step off-season plan for the Seahawks. I should just fax it to Pete. I don't know if people fax things anymore. But the first item on the list is fix things with Russell, right, and let him know, hey, man, if you want an O-line, he wants to buy one, cool, man, screw it. We'll buy one. You know, that means we got to overpay for, like, Corey Linsley from Green Bay or, like, go buy, you know, go pick up another tackle, you know, to go put opposite Dwayne Brown. Whatever, man. We'll do it. You know, if you want to throw it more, we'll throw it more. Like, you have to do that this offseason because at the core, another core piece of Russell Wilson's beef is like, man, Pete, we've been doing it your way. This is Super Bowl. We've been doing it your way for the last 5 years. It ain't got nowhere. It ain't got no further than we did before. We did it my way for 8 games, and you gave up on and have more faith and let Russ cook. And by extension, have more faith in me. So that's what the Seahawks have to do. You got to double down on your faith in Russell Wilson because he doesn't sound like, you know, irregardless of like whether he has a point or not with his arguments, he doesn't sound like a man who has faith in the front office to build around him. And you need to restore that faith if you're Pete Carroll. That's the priority number one for the 2021 offseason.
You know, one of the issues you run into when you say I will buy an offensive line is, like, the hit rate on first-round picks is 53%. The hit rate on free agents is, like, 33%. So, you know, it's like everyone says, like, well, you just throw money at the problem. It doesn't work that way, right? It doesn't. I think, and you're much closer to the situation, I think Antonio Brown playing and playing well in the Super Bowl, I think that triggered some of this because there was only two guys that Antonio Brown worked out with, right? And one was Russ, and one was Tom Brady. And Tom Brady had the pull to make it happen. And I'm sure Russ said, hey, man, Antonio Brown wants to play with me. And they were like, we can't do that. We can't do that. I mean, again, it's one player, but it's the micro of the macro problem. Is that a reasonable thought?
Yeah, it is 100%. I'll take it a step further. Russell Wilson played in the Super Bowl in the 2014 season. Who did he lose to? I was saying 7 years later or whatever it is. Who's in the Super Bowl again and who's wearing a suit sitting next to Goodell? Like, there were all kinds of triggers, you know, in that game. But yeah, I think AB is one. I think losing to Tom Brady and then having to watch Tom Brady play in, I don't know, what, 4 or 5 Super Bowls since Super Bowl 49? Like, Brady's been able to sustain greatness and get back to the Super Bowl multiple times. So you got Russ sitting there next to Goodell. He's watching the guy that beat him in the Super Bowl. He's watching the guy he wanted to help have him help get to the Super Bowl in AB. He's watching Patrick Mahomes have to do what Russ does every week, which is run for his life. And then he's watching Tom Brady do what Russ wants to do is stand there behind a great O-line. Like, all of those things were the trigger. It was AB. It was all that. Like, Russ was sitting there fuming. You know, and you could see it on his face. Like, I think all of that really made him really upset and kind of sparked the media tour he went on immediately after.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. It's interesting, like, how we're completely thinking alike on this thing. And I just, it's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out. You had Orlovsky on your pod. I saw. What did Orlovsky think that Russ was playing well down the stretch? Because part of the why they stopped the let Russ cook was when they played Arizona, he was so bad, right? Some of the odd decisions he made that they were like, we got to get back to a little bit more conservative. What did Orlovsky say?
Well, I think the thing about the let Russ cook is that Pete Carroll was never – Russ did play bad down the stretch. Like, all these numbers, I don't really care what Russ's camp, as people have to say, like, by every metric, his performance, even independent of the guys around him, was bad. Right? Like, I don't care what anyone says, right? Like, his yards per attempt, his completion percentage over expectation, his explosive passing, everything was just bad. Like, his numbers suggest that he was no better than Jared Goff from weeks about 9 to 17. Like, no lie. It was that just, like, off. So I think, like, no one can really dispute that. But what Russ will probably dispute is the reason why. Like, all of us can crunch the numbers and the tape, but do we really know what happened behind the scenes to, like, influence the on-field product, right? Because Russ will tell you the separation is in the preparation. Well, if our preparation was trash because head coach wants to do A and I want to do B, offensive coordinator in the middle wondering what the hell, who the hell to make happy, you know, that would explain why you go out there and get your butt by a mediocre Giants team, why you can't score in the second half against Philly, who's trash, who doesn't have a defensive coordinator anymore, like why you can't put up more points in the second half against Washington. You know, like all of these things can be explained probably more with some stuff that happened behind the scenes that, instead of this, like, I watched the tape, I crunched the numbers, Russ played bad. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yep. No question. There's absolutely, it's a lot more nuanced and layered than the very average. Look at the numbers. Look at what happened. That's the end all be all. Mike, I really appreciate you joining us. You do a great job. Let's do this again. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate you, Doug. Thank you for having me.
All right. That's Mike Dugar. Right? Did I get it right? Mike Dugar. And I'm not going to throw Gavin totally under the bus. All right. I'm going to throw him under the bus a little bit. No, it's Duggar. I was like, sure. Okay. His way of looking at it was really fascinating. You know, it's fascinating, which is like, it's the way all discussions generally go when people are good but not achieving greatness. It's like, is Russell Wilson to blame for some of their failures? Yes, but he's not alone in his blame. You know, the problem that we've gotten to is where really competitive people sometimes, you know, feel like they're getting all the blame and none of the, and they want to be part of the process of fixing it. And it's not really their job. It's like, look, is the front office partially responsible? Sure. Is the coaching staff? Sure. So is Russell Wilson. And I think that's where Russell Wilson could have won this thing. He could win this thing. Instead, I don't know. I don't think he comes across. It's a terrible look. You went to the playoffs. You didn't play well. And yet you're like, well, I don't want to be traded. He's not even willing. Like, everything about it is classic Russell Wilson. I'm not even saying I want to be traded. But if I was traded, here's a hypothetical. Like, who does that? Russell Wilson does that. And he doesn't. And this is a flaw I have as a person, too, is sometimes the way I see the world, I expect everybody to see the world the way I do. And then you start to realize maybe they don't. But if Russell Wilson started this conversation with, like, look, I got to be better. No question. I got to be better. But what could help me be better is if I had a little bit more say, you know, a little bit more say in how and why things go down. That would help me.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. What else are you going to do with your phone in the next few minutes? Look at photos of things other people ate? Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers, Circle Fire Insurance, Exchanges, or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
The Gottlieb Show. Vox Sports Radio. Every day at this time of the Doug Gottlieb Show, which is live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call Farmers for a quote today. We play for you a part of a previous show on Fox Sports Radio, or Fox Sports One, we call it.
Now.
What does the Fox say?
This was Brandon Marshall on First Things First, a former star wide receiver in the NFL, discussing hypothetically where Russell Wilson should be traded to.
We're going to go with the Saints, and I think the Saints is pretty much the best option, but I'll let the resident GM, maybe you can tell me if they can get this done, but they're in cap hell. They don't have the assets to get it done, but if you are able to do it, maybe you can figure it out, Nick, then this is where you'll probably win and win fast. This will be unfair to the NFL if he got to the Saints, and the number one destination is the Raiders, and if things implode and continue to implode in Seattle, this is where I think he'll end up. Why the Raiders? I mean, the Raiders, they have the best young, talented core group on the offensive side. Coach Gruden's going to let it be the Russell Wilson show, new stadium, new everything, and I think he'll really enjoy his time there.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is all hypothetical, right? Like, well, if you take money out of it and salary cap hell out of it and what they would trade back in return out of it, here's the perfect destination. Let's give an offense that played with a limp-armed quarterback a turbocharged option, one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL, at a reasonable salary now that most of the money has been paid out, and let's give back nothing essentially in return. Like, yeah, that works. So, look, my show is different than other shows, and maybe it's a downer to you. Maybe you're like, man, why do you got to start with the whole reality thing? Because I just don't want to do that. I just don't want to go like, you know what, the Saints could happen, and here's how it could happen to XYZ. Because there's zero chance. First of all, if you're going to trade Russell Wilson, if you're going to trade him within the NFC while he's in his prime, okay, you're, one, not going to gift-wrapped him to a team that's a perennial playoff team. Because you're going to have to, if you think you're any good, you're going to have to play that team. And secondly, if you do, the cost of business is actually going to be higher. Going to be higher. The last thing you want is, you know, Sunday Night Football, Saints, Seahawks, and you got a pick in the, like, it's just not happening. I think that Brandon Marshall's argument for why it should make sense to Russell Wilson makes, of course. He's no dope. Like, yo, man, you got Michael Thomas. You got an unbelievable running game. You got a remarkable offensive coach. You got a good offensive line. You play in a dome, which that'll put five more years of life on your arm. It's a no-brainer. The problem with that is I like to deal with things that are actually a possibility of happening, and I see no way, zero. They don't. It's not just that they don't have the draft picks. The draft picks they do have are going to be in the high 20s. They're too good. The number two pick in the draft, the Jets, is exponentially more valuable than the, where the Saints draft, like 28 or something like that? Exponentially more valuable. As with the second round pick, as with the third round pick. They just don't have any, and they're in cap hell. There's just, it's not happening. That's what the Fox said. What does the Fox say? Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Did you guys see this deal where ESPN and ABC, they're going to be back in the rotation? Everybody's denying it, but basically, it's so interesting. On the negotiating in the media is not simply an athlete thing. It's what's happened to ESPN, Disney, and the NFL. Did you see this buyer that they were supposedly $1 billion apart on a new Monday Night Football deal, mm-hmm. and now they got it kind of worked out,
somehow,
and they're
that
back
gap.
In.
Yeah, somehow close that gap.
Now, are they getting Thursday and Sunday, or just...
I thought it, from what I read with the Sports Business Journal, that it was a 10-year extension on their current deal, which is Monday Night Football, with the addition of being put in the Super Bowl rotation with the game being played on ABC. That's what I had read.
Okay. So look, the reason the NFL, here's the reason the NFL wants it. First, money, right? Second, they want to be, when Roger Goodell retires. I mean, it's interesting. If I said to fans, like, what do you think of Roger Goodell? Like, oh, he's the worst. The worst commissioner in sports. Like, okay. What is his job? His job is to make money for the owners, for the league, And if you make money for the owners in the league, the players make more money. The job basically to he's the CEO of a business, and the business has to be better. And you know what? When he leaves his position, they will be on CBS, on ESPN, on ABC, on Fox, and on NBC. They will be on every major network and the biggest cable network. I mean, the only thing left is for Fox to come back and go like, hey, we want a game on Fox Sports. You already have them on the NFL Network. Like, then it would be, then you're literally everywhere. He's grown the game in the country. He's pushed the envelope in Europe. Remember, they're supposed to, they played in Mexico City. They go back there. They're going to China as well. They've streamed games. They've incorporated Nickelodeon into games to try and grow the younger audience. Like, this is an amazing, and you could sit there and go like, well, he's got the NFL, right? Like, how hard could it possibly be? I don't know. I mean, the NBA was doing very well, and they made a bunch of money, but they're struggling a little bit now. They're only on two networks. Most of their games are on cable. So he has a really popular sport that he's grown, and it's an incredible win for the commissioner to get football back on ABC, where, frankly, it belongs. ABC and Monday Night Football, they're synonymous with each other. For ESPN, what people don't report is this. Within their deal for Monday Night Football, they purchased the ability to use highlights. Okay, highlights. On Fox Sports 1, if you use, it's like a, remember the phones? First time you got a phone, my first phone was that Nokia, that little kind of Nokia. Now, it wasn't a brick. It was a little handheld Nokia. Like, this is 2000, first time I got a cell phone. And you get like 500 minutes. You're like, 500 minutes, 30 days, 500 minutes a month. I'm never going over. And then you didn't know that 1 second over a minute, like you're on for a minute and 1 second, that's 2 minutes of phone use, right? Okay, so for the NFL, every second you use, okay, that counts towards a minute or maybe 30 seconds. I think it's a minute of highlights. If you don't have a pre-arranged deal like ESPN does, I believe in the last deal you pay $50,000 a minute for an NFL highlight. Okay, so what does that mean? When Colin is sitting on the set of Fox Sports 1 doing the herd, right? And in the background, Russell Wilson is throwing a touchdown pass to Tyler Lockett, right? If he shows that highlight for 1 second, it runs in the background. There's somebody at the NFL who is assigned to watching all the network who writes it down 1 minute. That's $50,000. You get a bill in the mail. And so while it seems like, why is ESPN paying so much money? Remember, they have NFL, they have all these highlight shows that have to have unlimited use or some amount time limit. And it's like a negotiation. You know, when you do your gas, right, on your car, your rental car, do you want to prepay for the fuel? You're like, if I prepay for the fuel, I got to use up all the, right? That's what this is. They're simply prepaying for the use of highlights. So that's why the ESPN pays so much more money than everybody else, because they get the highlights deal wrapped into their deal, and they use so many more highlights because of their football only shows and their highlight shows that nobody else uses. Does that make sense? You don't get this information anywhere else. This is so good. So good. Okay, coming up next, Brandon Ingram's having a really nice year for the New Orleans Pelicans. And if you've watched, Zion Williamson, without a jump shot, is slowly becoming a dominant player in the NBA. But wait till you hear what Brandon Ingram said about guys that he's played with previously, including LeBron James. That's next in the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.